Well, way back in those days, there used to be those guys that would kind of come into town, set up their horse-drawn cart or their kiosk, and sell their magic elixirs. And it seemed like as they kind of called out, it was always about, this is good for whatever ails you. And they promised to help cure almost any physical ailment you could possibly have. I guess, you know, wouldn't it be great if there was such a thing? I think about all the stuff that's been just playing out in our country, and particularly even too this last week. And wouldn't it be great if there was something that we could just drink that could cure all that ails our souls? You drink that and gone would be anger and racism and hopelessness, bitterness, arrogance, lust, greed, hatred, self-righteousness. Wouldn't it be great? This past week, we've seen a lot on the news. The whole spectrum of reactions to the death of George Floyd. There were those people who peacefully demonstrated. And there in the midst of their demonstration was the spirit of Proverbs 31:8, to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. They just wanted to be heard. And then on the other extreme, the violence and the looting and the damage and the destruction. Yes, there is a drink. And it's for all. And actually, this is what the day of Pentecost is all about. It's what the Holy Spirit offers to all. It's through this message, this proclamation about Jesus Christ that creates and unifies one people in Christ. All nations and people and languages. The purpose and work of the Holy Spirit has always been to point or to shine a light. To point us to the Savior, Jesus Christ, who came to and for all people to heal broken hearts. And through his death and resurrection, offer forgiveness of sin and a new heart. Jesus just wants to fill us, to quench our thirst. And again, that's a theme for the day. In the gospel lesson, it's interesting how Jesus is in this celebration, this festival going on, and it says he shouts out in a loud voice to go above and beyond the crowd so everyone could hear it. He says, "Let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Because he knows what ails all people. And so to illustrate his point and get his message across, he talks about thirst. And the people where Jesus lived knew all about the importance of water and how God provided for them in the past. And water was the perfect way for Jesus to teach the people about the Holy Spirit. As he says, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." See, sometimes wells would dry up. Or they would get full of sand and dirt or even turn bad and make people sick. You see, when water stops moving, it gets stagnant. And then it's undrinkable and it's unusable. We think of our own earth. The earth is water wealthy. Nearly 70% of the earth's surface is covered with water. Yet only about 1% of it is drinkable. So healthy water is an incredibly precious thing. And most of what's out there is either salty or tainted. Jesus points us to the spiritual. There's a lot of water out there, but most is not spiritually healthy. Because genuine spiritual truth is like pure water. And Jesus is the source. If anyone is thirsty, come and drink. See, living water was pure and clean and good for them. Living water is water that flows. And the drinking he was inviting people to do is to put their faith in him as the promised one. Because you see, when we get new life from Jesus, the very first time we drink of him by faith. The result of this drinking, rivers of living water flow from us to others. Because it's a water that transforms. The perfect example is the work that happened in the life of these followers of Jesus, these disciples. And Peter is the perfect example. On that Pentecost day, if you were to go back 54 days about from the day of Pentecost, this is what we read in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me." And then what happens? Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Later that night, Peter denied that he even knew Jesus three different times, and all of his disciples fled. A couple days later, after Jesus had died and was buried and rose again, and they saw and heard the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everything changed. Peter was never the same person again. And he, with the other people, waited in Jerusalem as Jesus told them to do, and then the Holy Spirit comes on them and fills them. And it's interesting, it's Peter who stands up on that day and gives explanation as to what just happened as people from all these surrounding areas heard people proclaiming the message about Christ in their own language. He says, "Let me tell you what that's about." He told them about Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen. And then the people, after the end of Peter's message, said, "What must we do?" And he says, "You got to believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. Repent and be baptized." And the people responded. 3,000 people came to faith that day and were baptized. Something happened. Something was transformed in the heart and life of Peter and those other followers of Jesus. It's a river flowing through me. You see, on Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit. He enabled his followers to talk about Jesus in languages they did not even know. It was like rivers of living water pouring the good news about Jesus out of the disciples to everyone who was there. He said, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow." You see, the Holy Spirit brings eternal life to everyone who believes in Jesus. Sins washed away. You see, it's a drink for all. See, here's the deal. We can sit and we can watch the news and all the reactions from our chairs and couches offer judgment. It's easy to do. I caught myself doing that last night. I was sitting at my kitchen counter eating snacks and watching a live stream and feed from demonstrating and looting that was going on in another part of the country. And all sorts of judgments were coming from me. But you see, here's what Jesus says to that. Because on many different occasions, he called out those who saw sickness in others, but saw no need for a physician for themselves. It needs to start with us. A pastor I know posted this on Facebook yesterday because he was reflecting too on the death of George Floyd and all the reactions. And I like the way he put it. He says, "I believe that the church, the body of Christ, can change this. Will it be perfect this side of Christ's return? No. But by God's grace and the Spirit's power working through us, we can make our country a more loving place where incidents like this are the exception, a rare tragedy. It all starts with loving our neighbor, which means knowing them. And then he quotes from C.S. Lewis's book, Mere Christianity. It's a great statement where C.S. Lewis said this: though natural likings should normally be encouraged, it would be quite wrong to think that the way to become charitable, loving, is to sit trying to manufacture affectionate feelings. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you did. As soon as we do this, we find one of the great secrets. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will presently come to love him. If you injure someone you dislike, you will find yourself disliking him more. Whenever we do good to another self, just because it is a self made like us by God and desiring its own happiness as we desire ours, we shall have learned to love it a little more, or at least dislike it less. The worldly man treats certain people kindly because he likes them. The Christian, trying to treat everyone kindly, finds himself liking more and more people as he goes on, including people he could not have imagined liking at the beginning. The same spiritual law works terribly in the opposite direction. The Germans, again reflecting on time of World War II, the more cruel you are, the more you will hate, and the more you hate, the more cruel you become. So he says, dear Christian friends, let us act lovingly toward our neighbor. I know some people in Minnesota, both relatives and people I know living there and pastors, and they've been putting things up on their Facebook feeds. And I like the way one person put this collage together, and with the statement, different people standing shoulder to shoulder to clean up and love a hurting community. And one person put, there are a whole lot of Minnesotans on the streets today. We have seen evil. Now, here is love on display. Where churches and followers of Jesus and other people uniting to bring transformation, healing, and restoration to a broken place. God working through his people to restore and transform. But see, here's the thing about transformation. All works of transformation, it seems, begins with listening. And it begins with us listening first to the Holy Spirit, revealing to us what we need to know about our own sin and what Jesus did for that sin through his death on the cross. And as the Holy Spirit prompts, we come to acknowledge that we need a Savior. And then in the process, we discover his love for us, and then that love now can be channeled through us. The Holy Spirit flows out from one to another. You see, every time we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, we let God's Spirit pour out a blessing on someone else. We too become like rivers of living water. See, the message of Pentecost is God saying, I want to live in you, to do a work of transformation in your heart, help you to bring God's light and life to the world. And all he desires is access. And that begins with just humbly listening. Jesus told his followers before he died, it's for your benefit that I go. You see, now the Holy Spirit is present in all followers of Jesus all over the world. And every single one of us, every single one of us can be, wherever we're at, God can work through us. And God, we can be used by God to listen, to care, to love, and to share a message. It's the perfect day, this day of Pentecost. Remember what God wants to do beginning in our hearts and in our lives to unite, to bring people together under one name, Jesus Christ, and the healing and the work that he can do. It's a drink for all. And what a beautiful thing that God does to bring people together. So, we go out today, tomorrow, in a new week, as people who know and love God, to bring his light and life to the world. So come, Holy Spirit, continue to do your work in us and through us. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.